One, two, three, four.
Screen time.
Hello, and welcome to It's My Screen Time 2, the podcast where we review the programming the other critics ignore. Stuff made for kids. Find out what to watch for family movie night, what to avoid altogether, and what you'll want to watch alone voluntarily. I'm Deborah.
And I'm Katie.
And I have three kids, ages 14, 11, and 11.
And I have two kids, ages 8 and 5. Today, we are reviewing American Girl, Corinne Tan the Movie. Why are we reviewing it, you might ask? Maybe our first ever five-star review was given way back in episode 10 for a little movie with a big title. You ready for this? It's a mouthful. An American Girl story, Mary Ellen, 1955, Extraordinary Christmas. It needs both a dash and a colon.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah. It's really easy to like search back in our Google Docs for it, too. I'm like, let me just enter any combination of literally any words. It has since come to our attention that this movie is no longer available for streaming, and we needed to give American Girl branded IP another chance to get those top rankings. It feels only right.
Mm-hmm.
What else feels only right is that we go over a little bit of our individual histories with the American Girl brand. Was American Girl a big part of your life growing up, Deborah?
Just the books.
Oh.
I had like one friend who had the dolls and that was it. And she was an only child from like a more affluent family than everybody else.
Yeah.
So I think the dolls were around, but they weren't a big thing where I grew up. But I, in the last 2 years, I went to New York City, was there meeting my goddaughter's family, who's very into American Girl dolls. And I went to the American Girl store for the first time. Wowie zowie. That was an experience. It was incredible.
Wow.
I would have loved it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I did. We didn't have the stores mm-hmm. when I was a kid.
Yes, we are old. We are old. So the American Girl dolls that existed when we were young were only the historical dolls, which they've branched out a lot since then. I had one of the dolls. I have three sisters, so we all got a doll. But my mother was also like, these accessories are insanely expensive. And because she is an artistic genius, she was like, I will just handcraft every single one of these accessories out of Sculpey clay and paint them for my children. Which
I love that.
Is just this beautiful thing. And I remember my jerky self as a child being like, I just want the real versions. But now looking back on it, how sweet. But also that's totally the reaction my kids would have to something like that. So Were you a Molly, a Samantha, or a Kirsten?
Boy, I think I liked Samantha the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was like, what, early 1900s New York? Mm-hmm. Was that her jam? Okay. She had those boots yeah. with like the perfect little buttons all the way up. Okay.
Which doll did you have?
Molly.
Okay, nice.
Love Molly. I perhaps love her more now, even when I did when I was young, because she has less of the historical flouncy dresses. Everything mm-hmm. feels a lot more modern because she's from World War II. And I'm sure mm-hmm. at the time I was like, she has an actual paper bag for her lunch, whereas this doll has a lunch pail. But I'm really portraying myself as a really awful kid. All right, let's move off this topic. All right, but the movie we are covering today, Corinne Tan the Movie. It's an hour-long movie that premiered on Amazon Prime on July 28th of 2023. Even though the historical dolls are the ones we're most familiar with from our childhoods, this movie is based on the contemporary they're called Girl of the Year dolls. One Girl of the Year has been featured per year since 2001. Did you have any idea about this line of American Girl dolls?
Not really. I thought they were more like, you get a doll now that looks like you.
Yeah, which is a whole separate offshoot. Like, they have mm-hmm. their fingers in a lot of different pots, which I guess makes sense because they're owned by Mattel now. So, all right. Anyway, Corinne was Girl of the Year in 2022. The movie is aimed at the early elementary set. kind of that aspirational, I'm a tween, but I'm imagining what it'll be like when I'm a teen sort of audience. The plot summary, according to Amazon Prime, is relocating to her stepdad's home in Aspen, 13-year-old ski enthusiast Corinne Tan is struggling to adjust after her parents' divorce, while her 10-year-old sister has already embraced her role in this new blended family. When Corinne finds purpose training a rambunctious search and rescue puppy named Flurry, she begins to understand the importance of family, perseverance, and self-acceptance.
Well, let's talk about our general thoughts about Corinne Tan, American Girl Corinne Tan, the movie. Overall, did you like it?
Extraordinary Christmas. No, sorry, go on.
Did you like it?
No, I did not like
it. Oh, okay.
This is super saccharine, and I just think we've watched a lot better tween-geared shows. Give me an American-born Chinese or even a Harriet the Spy over this any day. How about you?
Mm. I think I liked it better than you. I didn't think it was extraordinary, but I thought it was serviceable. I got into it. I liked the characters. I had a lot of problems with it that I want to talk about with you, but I would say overall I liked it.
All right, let's get into some of those problems, because you know that's what I'm gearing up for.
Okay, so why wasn't this for you, a grown-up person? What was hard to connect with it for you?
Oof. There are just no surprises here. It's all very rote and predictable. Why? It's because they haven't planned this as a family watch. It's only for the tween audience, even more than your average modern preschool show is for preschoolers, because modern preschool shows are also kind of sideways made for the grown-ups who are watching it too. This was not in their game plan that adults would be watching this, which is fine. Mm-hmm. There should be space for shows like those to be made, especially as your kids get older. But they weren't even trying for my attention or eyeballs.
I also knocked off points for predictability. It was so predictable. Like, you could see every plot turn from a mile away. Mm-hmm. And also, I would argue that we need more plot points other than parents' divorces.
Mm.
Maybe because I just read a couple of like YA books for a book review roundup, and like that is just such a young adult fiction trope where the kids' parents get divorced. And I'm sure it's like relatable. A lot of kids have to deal with that, but there are other problems that kids have to overcome.
All right, I'm just trying this on. But what if there's a continuum? Like, you start out, you're in preschool, you're watching your first movies, and one of the parents or both of the parents always dies. Because, you know, they're always orphans in those movies. But then you get a little bit older, and for whatever reason, they reduce the trauma level, and no parents die, they just get a divorce. It feels like it should be going the other direction, no?
Yeah, that is pretty a harsh way to start out, but maybe we get all the hard stuff out of the way first.
Yeah, divorces feel easy by the time you're watching those.
So was there anything for you as a grown-up viewer of this movie?
First point, all the food looked delicious. Corinne's mom is in the process of planning her menu to open a restaurant. And I say just replace all those interminable scenes of skiing and or ice skating with food prep, and I am in.
Nice.
Also, the concept of a true calling is, you could say, the oft-stated theme of this movie. It really resonates with me in an anxiety-producing way, as I imagine it does with a lot of stay-at-home moms as their kids reach school age. Did you find Corinne's insistence on finding her true calling to be sad or compelling at all?
It stressed me out, too, because, okay, my 14-year-old is not anywhere close to looking at colleges, but I have some friends and acquaintances whose kids are on their way to college or in college. And it sounds like kids have to decide their majors like really early. Whereas when I was a college student, you could go a full 2 years undecided and take your general requirements. And now the message I'm getting from parent friends is that Stakes are a lot higher when you enter college and you're supposed to know right away. So yes, Corinne's struggle in this movie definitely made me feel those same feelings I feel when I think about my kids going off to college and having to like decide their lives when they're so young and unformed.
Yeah, and you know me, I am pretty much always constantly low level worried about the college admissions process, even though my kids are 5 and 8. So from a very young age, I have been like worried about helping them to find their thing. Listeners, I know this is super neurotic and awful, and I don't want you to come away with the idea that I'm like forcing my children into a million things. Like, I am gently trying to expose them to literally every activity on earth in the hopes that they will find one that they want to pursue and put on a college application. It's still screwed up. I'm aware. It's fine. We're fine.
You should read that sidebar. You should read that New York Magazine article about like the college admission wizard. People pay him like hundreds of thousands of dollars to get their kids into Ivy League schools.
Okay.
It was out a couple weeks ago.
I don't need my kids to go to Ivy League schools, but I just keep hearing these horror stories about how kids with like weighted GPAs over 4.0, which by the way, did not exist when I was a child, mm-hmm. are not able to get into our state schools. Like, they're rejecting those kids because admissions are so insane. So I'm already panicked about it. Anyway, this is not the point of our review. Let's move on.
Okay. Well, what I enjoyed as a grown-up was the adults' questions of what is their calling, who are they, what are they going to do with their lives. Okay, first of all, there was like the dad who's a ski instructor who lives in like a pretty regular house. I assume he got to keep the house in the divorce because it seems like the mom left him because she's already remarried to a guy named Arnie. She lives in a much fancier house than the original childhood home that Corinne feels so bad about leaving. Even though her room looks awesome, she won't unpack, sort of as a rebellion to having to move in with the stepdad half the time. And then the mom used to be an accountant, and now she's pivoting her career and she's going to open a restaurant. So she's testing out all these delicious looking recipes. But I had so many questions about like the economics of these marital circumstances. Like, was she the breadwinner when she was with the ski instructor dad?
Yeah, because I doubt full-time ski instruction is supporting a family of four.
In Aspen.
Yeah.
In Aspen, yeah. He doesn't live in Aspen, though. He lives in, like, I don't know, a suburb or something. And then how rich is Arnie? Was Arnie like, marry me and I'll just support your dreams? Because it's like, you can't just open a restaurant. You have to, like, get funding or bank loans or whatever, partners to buy in. So I wanted to get like the spreadsheets of the each household budget and find out what money is coming in from whom and what they're doing with it.
Okay. I think I figured it out. They need to provide, like when you get an audiobook and they provide files as supplementary material, they need to provide like supplementary spreadsheets so you can second screen the numbers while you're watching the movie with your kids.
Yeah, I was a little stressed. Like, is Corinne's dad going to have to sell the house and move out? Is he no longer able to afford it? Because like the mom's not going to pay him alimony if she's opening a restaurant and gave up her day job.
Are we sure that the dad is still living in the childhood home and hasn't downsized to an apartment? Because I got the impression from Corinne's reaction that it's not, she was mad enough that it seemed like she was never going back to that house. I assumed that like the dad was just in like an apartment
rental. Well, they showed a shot of like a kind of a split level looking home. Was that where they ate like mac and cheese around the coffee table in front of the television
while playing video games? That's how they signal the bad parents.
That's a good segue into the cast and character standouts and what we thought about the cast. Was there anybody we loved or particularly hated? I have a note. Why is the mom a shrew and the dad a doofus?
Yeah.
Totally playing into the stereotype of the like incompetent divorced dad.
Yeah, it kind of goes along with our comments about predictability in the plot. The bumbling slacker first husband is just such a trope. I feel like they ultimately tried to rescue him at the end, they gave him a little budding friendship with the new stepdad, which was weird in theory, but the way they played it was kind of adorable.
But he keeps calling him like different plays on his name, Arnie, which is kind of funny.
But then at the end, when the two grow to respect one another, then Arnie feels free to give him nicknames. I don't know. I was reaching. Okay. I was reaching for anything. Can I gripe for a minute about the mom?
Yes.
All right. I have a little parenting quibble with Mrs. Tan, and I'm sorry I didn't write down her first name. Weirdly, I know Arnie is. I think he's the only adult's first name I remember. Why is she so encouraging of the younger sister's ice skating, but she just gives a flat no way to Corinne wanting to train a rescue dog? She's like, I'm comfortable with my 10-year-old child ice skating 6 to 7 days a week for hours in an attempt to become a competitive ice skater, but my other daughter wants to train dogs to do good for humanity, and I insist that she's just not ready for that level of responsibility?
I know. And like the pipe dream of becoming a competitive figure skater, like two people get to do that. And there are so many dog trainers in this world. Like that's a much more realistic career path.
Plus it's an altruistic volunteer position. Like why would you quash that in your child? I just found it to be so, like, I know they really wanted to highlight the contrast between the dad and the mom, but I found that to be so weird and off-putting. Like, you're not supposed to prioritize one child over the other. And to me, she was so clearly picking favorites in a really gross way.
Right. And no mention of, like, how much is this 6 day a week, 5 hours on the ice private lessons going to cost?
It's okay. Arnie's got it.
So any thoughts on the writing? I have some thoughts on the dialogue.
Please give me some.
Well, the dialogue was super wooden, which I think the Mary Ellen 1955 Extraordinary Christmas was also. I think that's just kind of the style of the American Girl franchise films.
Yeah, very earnest. Very earnest.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of a throwback to sort of what Nickelodeon shows were like when I was an adolescent or pre-adolescent. But the thing I did enjoy about the dialogue is the younger sister who speaks like all in internet slang and emojis. I thought that was cute. She was funny.
Yes.
Okay. Structure. Is an hour-long movie really a movie? Or is this to fool younger kids into thinking they get to watch a whole movie?
Yeah, I was thinking about this, but what else do you call it? Like, unless you're going to commit to producing six of these in a row and just call it a season of a show and each quote unquote episode is about a different doll.
I mean, this is the length of an after school special. It's not an after school special, but like that's where an hour long standalone program for children fits in my world.
Do we call anything specials anymore?
I don't know. I did like the length. I didn't want to watch more than an hour of Corinne Tan.
I'm with you. That was plenty.
And I didn't want to watch more episodes of it either. So I guess because it wasn't very good, this was the perfect length for it.
Okay, I didn't put this in the doc, but I have to ask, do you think that the reason we were so effusive about Mary Ellen of the long title is that we were so early in our critical experience, and B, it was a historical plot. I think both of those things must have played into my enthusiasm about it, because that took place in 1955, as the title tells us.
Well, we can't watch that again because it's not on streaming any longer. Thanks a lot, Amazon. But I think it was better, but maybe because it was episode 10 of our podcast, we were like unseasoned critics and just didn't know better. But this had potential. The cast was excellent, especially the young actors who played Corinne and the little sister. I thought they were great. They didn't have a lot to work with in terms of dialogue and plot.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of young actors come up through. I mean, I would argue that the Disney Channel original movies are like several steps above this in quality, but like they come up through that system sort of like in the very hammy, like community theater acting phase. And then they go on to do better things as they're older and they have more opportunities. So it's definitely not down to either of these adorable actresses.
Right. Well, what did you think about the setting? of Aspen or whatever mountain they told us was Aspen.
I just think they wasted a lot of time on exterior shots and like shots from far away of people skiing and or ice skating. They're like, come on, we could have tightened this up to about 40 minutes special. You know, I didn't really need all of that extra.
Totally true.
All right. What makes the show okay or good for kids, even if it wasn't necessarily okay or good for us? Do you want my bullets first? All right, here are my bullets. I got multicultural representation. Ding. Mm-hmm. Showing a close sibling bond. They're not always fighting by default. That's nice. Representation of a healthy blended family. They're not really healthy all the time, but they get there and you get the sense that they're willing to work on it. Four, these kids have so much independence. They're like zipping to and from the ski mountain on their own at 13 and 10. I think that's pretty impressive and maybe something that parents could look at and think, maybe I need to expand my child's bubble a little bit. So I liked those things. How about what makes this inappropriate or otherwise bad for kids?
Thinking that you can just get 6 day a week figure skating lessons by being cute and saying pretty please in an ice arena in front of your rich stepdad. Totally unrealistic. I mean, I get kids movies shows are unrealistic, but that one kind of stuck with me.
Yeah, I also need to reiterate that I don't think it's great to get kids thinking they need to find their true calling quite so mm-hmm. early. I think they should just be concerned with being kids for a little bit. But
mm-hmm. I also thought the plot line where Corinne just like goes with the ski patrol trainers was a little off. I mean, dog trainers have a really specific protocol that they're supposed to go to, I think, which I know from watching like one documentary film. I don't have any experience in this area, but I thought that was a little, well, totally unbelievable.
Yeah, Fleury's training process was ultimately very subpar. And if Fleury was put on the mountain to find me, if I were lost, I would probably die.
And at the very beginning, when the two sisters meet Fleury, they do ask permission to pet him. And that was good modeling for how you're supposed to encounter an unfamiliar dog.
Yeah, that's true.
What adult movie or show does this compare to?
So the example of the bumbling slacker first husband is the one that clearly stuck in my mind. And the example that I came to most readily was David Walton from the Bad Moms movie. And just how truly horrible he was. So that's all I got for that. How about you?
I thought about Jimmy Chin's documentary on Disney Plus. Have you ever watched that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's called I didn't write it down, of course. It's called like Jimmy Chin and the Great Outdoors or something. And it's all this, every episode tells the story of like somebody who had like a bad accident or scary encounter in the wilderness doing some extreme sport or another. And one of the episodes is about an avalanche. It's really good. I think you and Kevin might like it.
That sounds terrible. And like, I'll never want to leave my house again, Deborah. I don't know.
but it's all people doing extreme sports. Like okay. You're not an extreme sport kind of person. And then it also reminded me of this Heidi Julivet's article that I read in the New York Times magazine a number of years ago about how she went through avalanche training and like how scary it is. I'm kind of fascinated with mountain culture because yeah. I live in the upper
very
Midwest.
Flat state.
So I like to watch and read things about people doing extraordinary things in the mountains. Were you able to cast the gritty HBO reboot?
All right. This is as far as I got. What happens when an awesome, together, funny woman, doesn't really describe the mom from the movie, but it's okay. Stay with me. Marries a total square. So I want Awkwafina as the mom and Simu Liu as the dad. And I don't know who the square would be. But we just watched Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, so that's why they are both on my mind.
Have you seen the other two on HBO Max?
Not yet, but everyone says it's incredible.
Yeah, that actor plays a funny part, like a cameo in, I don't know, the third season. That's good.
Well, I loved him as a Ken on Barbie as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I also thought of some Barbie stars. I wanted to see America Ferrera and the young actor who plays the daughter, like the sullen anti-Barbie daughter. I would like to see them in the mom and Corinne role. And then this is like stereotypical typecasting, but I just want to see John Cho as a ski instructor.
I know. I was like, I can't cast John Cho as the bumbling husband, though. Like, can you picture him bumbling?
I cannot really picture him like loosened up in that
You know
way,
what,
but I would
Deborah,
like to
though?
see
Yeah.
it.
Let's give him a chance to spread his wings. Yes, let's cast John Cho against type. We believe in him that much.
Was it better when we were kids?
We would totally have had this movie on VHS. My parents would have bought it because they saw that it said American Girl on it, and then we would have watched it 20 times in the basement, and my parents would never have anything to do with it. Like, they would, beyond having bought it, they would never have given it another thought in their lives. So just a snapshot of how things worked when we were growing up. Was that better? Was that worse? What do you think?
I think I'm going to argue that it was better when we were kids because the American Girl phenomenon was really more a book based. Not as much, I mean, it was about the merchandise, but it wasn't as much about buying every single accessory. And I don't know, I was satisfied with just the books. Maybe I was a weird kid.
No, I love that, and I especially love that for your parents because it was so expensive, but I feel like it was very much like, oh, we will sell you every little thing individually and just charge you excessively. I think that has always been their MO.
But can you even get a book about Corinne Tan?
I'm sure, maybe. I don't know. We'll look that up and make note of it in the show notes.
Would you ever watch this alone voluntarily?
No, I would not. Nope. You?
No. It disappointed me for sure.
Yeah. Especially after that extraordinary Christmas. Okay, ratings from 1 to 5.
I would give it a 3 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, I gave it a 2.5 and I felt like that was generous. See it or skip it.
I think it's a C, especially for families with younger kids. And the dog, we didn't even talk about the dog. The dog is a big part of this show. And like, my kids love watching shows, even that are too juvenile for them, that involve dog actors. So I have that recommendation too.
It's a skip for me. Well, thanks for listening to our review of American Girl, Corinne Tan. Next week, we'll be back with a conversation about screen time in the news. If you enjoyed our show today, please recommend the show to one friend you think would enjoy it too. We love growing our community of parents for sanity and screen time. Want more words about screen time? Subscribe to our newsletter at myscreentime2.com. Tune in next time for more real talk about the movies and TV we watch with our kids because we have to, and sometimes because we like to.
Screen
Bye!
time. Bye. Screen time. Screen time. Screen time.